from KQED.
Well, as we said, more than a week after that deadly gas pipeline explosion and fire in San Bruno, there are still more questions than answers. Why did it take so long to shut off the pipeline valves that night? Why didn't PG&E repair that pipeline even after it was identified as dangerous and after state regulators approved a rate hike to pay for the repairs? State and federal agencies are investigating those questions and others, and at a media briefing this week after returning from Asia, Governor Schwarzenegger shared the frustration of those who want answers now.
Right now, it's going to be very difficult to get this information because one agency tells the other agency you can't talk because this is under investigation. You're only allowed to talk to the investigators, which I just heard here. He's not allowed to give all the details. Believe me, within the next few days, you will have the information because I'm back now and I'm going to get into drill down to that information because you and the community have the right to know. That is the bottom line.
So what are the risks of living near a large gas pipeline? We turn to Carl Weimer, executive director of the Pipeline Safety Trust in Washington State. And Mr. Weimer, what do you see as the most important lessons from this accident?
One of the most important things is that this type of pipeline runs all over the country. There's 300,000 miles of this same type of pipeline around the country, and there's 50 or 60 significant incidents on those each year. Luckily, they usually happen out in rural areas, but all of us that have been watching pipeline safety figured sooner or later one was going to happen in a populated area, and unfortunately, it happened in San Bruno.
The concern among a lot of people is, do I live close to an old or dangerous pipeline? How concerned should people be about that?
Well, I was just looking at the statistics in California specifically, and, on the average, there's been only about 2 incidents a year for the past 10 years in all of California with all your miles of pipeline. So, to put it in context, I don't think people need to lose a lot of sleep over it, but as we certainly saw in San Bruno, if a pipeline does fail, the consequences can be huge.
And to what extent do you think utilities should reveal where those riskiest, most dangerous pipelines are? Or, would it be a risk, as the utilities say, to reveal that information because it, could jeopardize security or make it a target for vandals or terrorists?
According to the federal regulations, the pipeline companies are supposed to make people living near pipelines aware that the pipelines are in their area. And the federal government has even put up a national pipeline mapping system where people can get in and look at the maps in their county and find out if there is a map in their neighborhood. I think the general thinking is if people are aware of the pipelines in their neighborhoods, that makes pipelines much safer than if that fact is hidden.
Why?
Well, because a lot of the damage, and particularly looking at the damage on pipelines in California, is caused by people excavating or hiring contractors that are digging or putting stuff into the ground, and that damages the pipeline. If you have no idea there's a pipeline in your neighborhood, you have no idea how to prevent that yourself or to call the authorities if you see somebody else doing something on top of the pipeline.
One of the big questions with this pipeline is, why didn't PG&E maintain it or fix it, repair it sooner? Apparently, 3 years ago, the California Public Utilities Commission approved PG&E's request to increase rates and use the money to replace this pipeline, but the work wasn't done. I want to play a little bit of this PG&E president, Chris Johns, who spoke at a briefing on Wednesday when asked about that and why was it that the money that was allocated or approved wasn't used for this work. Here's what he said.
Our first priority is to take care of things that maybe are dangerous today, because we want to make sure that everybody's safe. So at times, we'll have to reprioritize. And so that's why we will redirect funds to take care of the things that are urgent today, and then go back and look and say, what are the things that are urgent tomorrow?
Carl Weimer, that explanation begs the question, if this wasn't urgent, what was, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think the take-home message from that is, do we have regulators that can look over the shoulder of the pipeline companies and ensure that the priorities they're setting are correct? Because it's obvious that we have a lot of old pipelines in the ground, and you have to set priorities because you can't replace everything at once. But sometimes companies are choosing to do the work in the wrong places.
Well, in fact, there are calls for more regulation, more oversight at the federal level. The governor supports that, and so do Senators Boxer and Feinstein, even President Obama. What would that accomplish, do you think, to have more federal involvement in this?
Well, the federal government are the ones that set all the standards for these pipeline safety across the nation. They set the minimum standards. So that's really where it has to happen. And I think people are starting to identify that there's some significant holes in the federal regulations. Like only 7% of all of these big transmission gas pipelines nationally have to ever be inspected in the ways that can find the flaws in them.
There's a lot of aging infrastructure in the United States, bridges, levees, pipelines, of course, hospitals, schools. And then when there's a tragedy like this, of course, there's a lot of attention placed on this particular aspect of our infrastructure. Is there a risk of overemphasizing it, of maybe overreacting?
Yeah, I've had a lot of calls in the last few days of people with pipelines near them who are really scared because of the San Bruno incident. And I've really tried to put it in perspective for them that the chance of these pipelines failing in any one place is really, really small. Even if you look at the data, and I think really looking at the science and the data of the incident trends over the last 10 years or so, you see that the trends are stable or even going down. The liquid pipelines, the spill trends have actually been going down over the last 10 years. So I think some of the regulations that have been put in place in the last decade have started to kick in, and hopefully with some new added regulations to fill some of the holes, things will be even safer.
Carl Weimer, Executive Director of the Pipeline Safety Trust in Bellingham, Washington. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And there's a link to that National Pipeline Mapping System website at our website, californiareport.org.